Tonight's session is being interpreted into Spanish. Sam or Yasmin, would you please introduce yourself and let our viewers know how to enable translation on their devices?
Yes, of course. Thank you for having us. Hello, everyone. My name is Sam Guzman from the CLC, joining you virtually. And along with my colleague, Yasmin, we will be interpreting today's meeting into Spanish. Please allow me a quick minute while I give instructions in Spanish on how to access interpretation. Buenas tardes a todos. Mi nombre es Samuel Guzmán con la CLC. Juntamente con mi colega Yasmin, estaremos interpretando la reunión de hoy al español. Si se une con nosotros virtualmente a través de Zoom, por favor busque en su pantalla un icono de globo que dice Interpretación. Oprima ese botón y de ahí seleccione la opción de escuchar en español. Si se une con nosotros presencialmente y está ahorita en la cámara, por favor busque hacia el fondo a la derecha y encontrará un asistente que le podrá dar audífonos para escuchar en español. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sam. Welcome to the general public comment session of October 20th, 2025. City Council provides a half-hour general public comment session to hear from the public on city matters, except for any matter that are scheduled for a public hearing. To maximize time for public comments, Council will not offer comments or responses from the dais. City Council or staff may contact speakers following their comment if they raise matters that lend themselves to follow-up. All speakers should begin by stating their name. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. For those participating in person, when called upon, please come to the podium. A timer on the presentation monitor will display your remaining time. For those participating virtually, when called upon, please wait until you are promoted to speaker. Then accept the promotion, turn on your camera if you have one, and your microphone. You will see the timer on your screen counting down. Please refrain from profane or obscene speech, direct your comments to council as a whole, and refrain from individual or personal attacks, including disparaging other speakers' motives. First up, we have Henry Delgado. Okay, I just have to say his name, and then Tim will, it's all magic, but I have to say his name.
Oh, Spanish, please.
Sí, puede seguir y yo le voy a interpretar, señor Delgado.
Ok, buenas tardes, excelentísimos miembros del Consejo Municipal de Denver o Cámara Municipal.
Good afternoon to the City Council of Denver.
Quería comentar en base a la experiencia de mi familia la necesidad que hay en los refugios de Denver.
I'm here to comment on behalf of my family, the need that there is for some shelters in Denver.
Los refugios en Denver son un espacio para el desarrollo de aquellas familias que no cuentan con la posibilidad de tener una vivienda de manera inmediata. Por eso es necesario.
The shelters are necessary because they are needed for the families that do not have access immediately for permanent shelter or permanent residence.
Por eso es necesario que desarrollemos políticas a favor de erradicar la necesidad de personas de viviendas que hoy están viviendo en la calle.
We must address the need of all the people that are now living on the streets that are in need of these shelters.
Y urgentemente, ya que el invierno se aproxima y la problemática agudiza con los días.
It is especially urgent now that the winter is approaching and we will find ourselves in a dark situation.
En manos de los voluntarios que esta ciudad tiene, hemos podido encontrar los recursos para darle solución a algunas de las problemáticas.
Only through the volunteers, so the many volunteers that we have seen in the city, we have been able to locate the resources to help us in our situation.
Hay más de 400 familias con un caso similar al nuestro que tardamos mucho para estar en un espacio digno para el desarrollo de la familia.
There are approximately about 400 families just like mine that are struggling to find a place with dignity for each of our families.
Es necesario ya que de esos espacios depende la educación de todos y cada uno de los niños que hacen vida en cada una de las familias.
It is especially necessary for our children, for them to be taken care of and even educated so that nothing is lacking for them.
Conocemos de casos de familias que han ido a otras ciudades al verse frustrados de no encontrar solución en la ciudad de Denver.
There have been some families who have been so frustrated that they've had to leave the city in search for other places where they can find refuge.
Y muchos de los que estamos en los refugios tenemos la imperiosa necesidad de contar con cocinas para cocinar nuestros propios alimentos.
Those of us who are in the shelters also are in need of having our own kitchens so we can adequately feed or prepare our meals and feed our families.
Ya que muchos tenemos necesidades especiales de alimentación por enfermedades o discapacidades.
Especially because some of us have special dietary needs because of our illnesses or disabilities.
Por favor, voten a favor de crear refugios para familias como la nuestra. Muchas gracias.
Please vote to have shelters for families such as mine. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up, we have Nate Caldwell. And you can lift up the mic if you need to, so you don't have to lean over. Yeah, there you go.
Thanks. Great. I'm kind of a tall one. All right. Hello, neighbors. Thanks for taking the time to hear from me today. I rarely write or speak to city government because I see irreconcilable class contradictions inheriting our commission. While trying to balance the demands of your constituency, which is vast and varied, with the demands of the bourgeois class, the squeaky wheels who clamor for your favor and pummel you with their influence, we know who tends to win.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
To quote Engels, the state is the admission that this society has become entangled in an insoluble contradiction with itself, that it has split into irreconcilable antagonisms, which it is powerless to dispel. But in order that these antagonisms, these classes with conflicting economic interests, might not consume themselves in society in fruitless struggle, it becomes necessary to have a power seemingly standing above society that would alleviate the conflict and keep it within the bounds of order. And this power, arisen out of society, but placing itself above it and alienating itself more and more from it, is the state. As a worker, I am fundamentally at odds with the interests of the bourgeois class. I know that our interests won't align 90% of the time because they are not alignable. Luckily, I'm here tonight because we're in alignment. The current struggle is over a different kind of alignment, that of AI subordinate to humanity. On May 5th, this City Council unanimously voted against Resolution 250413, a proposal to renew the city's contract with Flock, an AI-enabled surveillance company that operates a network of automated license plate readers, or ALPRs, around this city. This council's intent was clear with their 12-0 decision. The people of Denver do not want these cameras in our cities. Yet Mayor Johnston took it upon himself to work out an end run to approve the extension anyhow. I'm disgusted at seeing our mayor subvert, defy, and sidestep the will of this council and your constituents. Suffice it to say, I'm pissed. To summarize my argument for the uninitiated, these camera systems are a blatant violation of our Fourth Amendment rights. Warrantless mass surveillance is something the Supreme Court has ruled repeatedly requires judicial oversight, both in Carpenter v. United States and U.S. v. Yang. You're throwing out the precedent of particularized suspicion established in State v. Davis and Navarrete v. California. You're using Flock's contractor status to subvert the state action doctrine and weaponizing the third-party doctrine to launder accountability through a subcontractor like white-collar criminals. Johnston's payment to Flock looks like looks to me like structuring, something done by criminals to avoid financial scrutiny by banking regulators. The placement of these systems in my blue-collar neighborhood amounts to digital redlining. They're a tool employed by immigration to harass your constituents. Like Silicon Valley, the citizens of our city are also more than capable of moving fast and breaking things. But this is my attempt to take the high road. Show me I'm making the right decision. Long live the workers.
Thank you. Next up, we have Anissa Mamo, virtually. Next up, we have Joel Brown, virtually.
Joel. Good evening, City Council.
Great.
My name is Joel Brown. I live in Uptown in Council District 7, or Council District 10. I'm concerned about the privacy invasion caused by the flock cameras put up throughout our city. City Council has voted down this contract unanimously, but Mayor Johnston has gone around you. The Denver Police Department and the mayor's office has obfuscated your efforts to find out the truth and lied to your face. I'm upset that you all, as my representatives, are being lied to. It is my view that no safeguards or methods can be put in place to make sure that data cannot be abused under this federal administration. Mayor Johnston is causing the city of Denver to violate state law, and it must end. Keep up the pressure. You have my support. As a resident of this city, I feel safe, not because of DPD, but in spite of them. I'm not worried about being robbed by migrants or homeless people. No, my only safety concerns are as a pedestrian and a bicyclist. People drive recklessly because they know police don't do low-level traffic enforcement at your direction. I'm voting no on 2A, the Vibrant Denver Transportation Bond, because it does little for pedestrian and bicycle safety. It does not fund Vision Zero. It proposes reconstruction on 6th and 8th Avenue, which will cripple the area in the short term to benefit the billionaire Walton Penner family in the long term. Thank you to the city councilors who alerted us to the mayor's dishonesty during this process. I am voting no on 2D, the Facilities Bond, because it allocates $75 million for a new police training center. This facilities bond also funds deferred maintenance projects at rec centers and other city facilities. These maintenance expenses should be coming from the city's general fund. GO bonds should be used to fund large capital expenses. Instead, the mayor proposes using GO bonds to backfill deferred maintenance while most of the general fund revenue is allocated to the Department of Public Safety. You must say no to Cop City, but no on 2D. I'm concerned about the budget situation next year. After a $50 million budget shortfall this year, next year it looks even worse with a shortfall of $200 million. The mayor proposes cuts everywhere except the Department of Public Safety. DPD and DSD should share in these costs. I'm concerned about the impact of 310. 310 proposes banning the sale of flavored tobacco to consenting adults in Denver. This worsens Denver's budget situation by $13 million in tax revenue. They will now go to neighboring counties. Indeed, New York billionaires, Michael Bloomberg swooped in with a $2 million donation for his buddy Mayor Johnston in the Yes campaign to try and save it because they know they are losing. I voted for Johnston. I supported his campaign, but now he has gone in the wrong direction. It is time to rein in this mayor with your vote. I encourage everyone to vote no on all the Denver ballot questions. Thank you, City Council, for your time and consideration, and don't give up on the flock issue.
Thank you. Next up, we have Matthew Brady.
Greetings. As to my credibility, Matt Brady, a 43-year resident of the Loma Lincoln Park, just a short walk from Colfax 13th and 8th Avenues. For the past 31 years, just one block from the Burnham Yard, bicycling and driving over the viaduct since 1980, I witnessed the replacements of the Colfax 6th and 8th Avenue viaducts during the 1980s. I participated in planning the light rail before the first line was built through my neighborhood. A lead resident on the developments in Loma Lincoln Park, am a recipient of several civic awards for my work for Denver. Ballot issue 2A lacks transparency and reads like a sales pitch. Without raising taxes and enhancements is used 10 times. Just two lines cover the repair and reconstruction of bridges, underpasses, and viaducts to improve safety and capacity when this is not the case. You are asking voters to approve this bond spending when you have not done adequate research. For example, in a recent neighborhood meeting, the mayor's chief assistant discussed the bond issues. I asked him how many scheduled light rail trains a day go under the 8th Avenue Viaduct. He did not know, so I gave him the answer. 421 a day, 24 to 25 per hour during the day, being the busiest section of RTD's rail system, and does not include a frequent number of out-of-service rail cars being taken to the maintenance facility for servicing or being repositioned. Also, I asked how it is safer to have traffic cross the rail lines rather than go over them as is now. He gave an ambiguous answer, just interested in public safety. One of your council members was at this meeting. Until now, it is likely you do not know the frequency of rail traffic under 8th Avenue. 13th Avenue goes across the light rail tracks with at least two fatalities. One was a Denver policeman on a motorcycle who could not stop in time. 8th Avenue has 8-10 times the traffic that 13th and Denver school buses corral is at 8th and federal emergency vehicles use 8th Avenue. RTD has two buses an hour over 8th Avenue. Taking out the 8th Avenue overpass to enhance additional access to the new stadium and birding yard is irresponsible. A new overpass for the east side of 8th Avenue will be needed. Don't say lack of funds. $441 million is planning to put safety first. You expect Denver voters to rubber stamp the ballot issues, knowing most won't do the research. You imply, just trust us. Where are your safety concerns? Since you all know me, you can contact me for further discussion. Thank you for your time, and kudos to the Broncos.
Thank you. Next up, we have Peter Lowy.
My name is Peter. My family has lived on Crestmore Park for 60 years. I used to consult for the United Nations on democratic participation in development processes, and I've spent a decent portion of my career working on macroeconomic policy. I'd like to talk about the mayor's proposed budget. I saw council's letter clawing back some funds. I have not seen the response from an hour ago, but I'm not holding my breath. I applaud you all for working together to put that letter out, but I implore you to go much further, because the mayor's budget is abominable. It cuts election security, it cuts social safety nets, and it increases the police budget. This budget is Trumpian in the most horrific anti-democratic ways. Thousands marched over the weekend to saying no kings, but the city is rolling over in front of the strong mayor system. I saw in one of his budget documents openly using the term right-sizing the government, which is a covert conservative catchphrase from about a decade ago, which was used to justify wanton slashing of everything good. If Mayor Johnston was doing these cuts any more blatantly, I'd suggest that there was Doge in his office. One thing I haven't heard discussed so far is the long-term impacts of this budget, because at best, this budget proposal shows that the mayor's office lacks a fundamental understanding of why we are in this budget crisis to begin with. Through cuts to the auditor's office, to economic opportunity, and to housing assistance, Mayor Johnston is dooming the city to future budget cuts. Which will exacerbate inequality, and it is quietly criminalizing poverty. Now, according to American Community Survey data, there are over 97,000 households in the Denver metro statistical area making less than $32,000 a year. And if the federal government had any interest in maintaining that data infrastructure, we would see that number go up next year because of this budget. Hundreds of thousands of people in this city are going to suffer because of this proposed budget, and the only ones who aren't are the ones who need the help the least. So I implore you to ring all of the alarm bells, because this is wrong on every level. Mayor Johnston should be named and shamed at every opportunity for daring to propose something so clearly devastating to our city and communities.
Thank you. Next up, we have Kara Kauk, K-A-U-K, virtually. Kara?
Hello, I'm here. It's Kauk. Thank you. Sorry, I need to update that. So I'm here to add fuel to the fire on the flock safety issue. On May 5th, Denver City Council previously voted unanimously to reject a $660,000 contract renewal with flock safety for their surveillance camera systems. Such systems have been proven to be error-prone, have misled police in criminal investigations, and do not store data in a sufficiently private and secure manner, endangering the privacy and security of American citizens. Colorado doesn't want these cameras. Denver doesn't want these cameras, and on May 5th of 2025, Denver City Council agreed. Despite this, just 2 months later, on July 7th of 2025, Denver Mayor Mike Johnston signed a $498,500 contract with Flock Safety, intentionally reworking the contract to barely skirt under the $500,000 limit where City Council approval is required. This is a practice known as structuring. Mayor Johnston took a contract which voters didn't agree to put their hard-earned taxpayer dollars towards, and which City Council unanimously rejected, and found a way to push it forward anyway. The Denver General Services Purchasing Procurement Policy and Procedure Manual states, buyers shall be diligent in preventing agency avoidance of the formal or informal bid thresholds or City Council required ordinance thresholds by artificially dividing requisitions to avoid any procurement regulations described in Article 20-64 of the Revised Municipal Code. This practice is also illegal under the Colorado Statute for First Degree Official Misconduct, Section 18-8-404. In that section, attempt to obtain a benefit is a key differentiator between first and second degree misconduct. Under Section 18-1-901, benefit means any gain or advantage to the beneficiary, including any gain or advantage to another person, pursuant to the desire or consent of the beneficiary. Mayor Johnston's contract structuring clearly constitutes a gain or advantage to Flock Safety, and the broad language used to define benefit shows that Colorado Criminal Code is built to factor intent and spirit into account. I ask that the City Council, 1, schedule an oversight hearing to determine if Mayor Johnston's actions constitute illegal structuring to evade council oversight. 2, refer this matter to the auditor and district attorney for investigation of Mayor Johnston's potential violations of both Colorado Revised Statutes 18-8-404 and 18-1-901, Item 3, Clause B. 3, introduce a pre-deadline resolution declaring any unilateral extension improper and demand that City Council has review for any surveillance tech contract moving forward. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next up, we have Maple Evergreen.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
I'm here to talk about the cameras as well. I feel like everybody's really touched on like all the formal stuff and all that. I just don't like it. I feel like all of you voted against this. You exist to represent us as the people that are paying our taxes. And Mayor Mike Johnson went over all of your heads and did the cameras anyways. It's kind of not cool. I got one like outside of my window at my house. I walked here down the street and it's sketchy. I don't like being watched all the time. And I'm hoping that you guys can do everything you can to put pressure on, you know, getting rid of the contracts, making sure that these cameras don't stick around, and making sure that this type of surveillance doesn't exist going forward. So I appreciate all your time, and that's all I have. So,
thank you. Next up, we have Ross Rollison, virtually. Ross?
Hello, and thank you for your time. I'd like to address the issue of Mayor Johnston's illegal funding of the Flock secure surveillance cameras. But first, I'd like to touch on safety concerns. So a Kansas police chief used Flock Safety license plate readers to track his ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend's vehicles 228 times over more than 4 months, and used his police vehicle to follow them out of town. And this is not an isolated incident. So multiple other documented cases include Las Vegas Metro officer Christopher Young for stalking his ex-fiance, and Riverside County Deputy Eric Piscataya pleading guilty in February 2024 to 7 counts of misusing the databases to stalk a woman he met at Coachella. Furthermore, in Espanola, New Mexico, 21-year-old Jacqueline Gonzalez and her 12-year-old sister were held at gunpoint and handcuffed after Flock surveillance mistook a 2 for a 7 on their license plate. It seems like we've already touched on the obvious splitting to avoid council oversight. So yeah, I think that we need to see accountability. I think that Mayor Johnston is really endangering Coloradans with these cameras. So yeah, that's all. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next up, we have Addison Snyder. Addison?
Hello. Yeah, my name's Addison Snyder. I also came to talk about the whole flock surveillance thing. Yeah, you guys voted 12-0 on that. I don't think 12 people could decide on pizza, much less cameras. But what does that say about that decision? You know, if like Mayor Johnson's picking up the pizza, he comes back with pineapple after you guys decided on like sausage, that'd be terrible. He decided to go with a contract for $498,500, like $1,500 under the limit. 0.3%. Like, you got to really understand the audacity of it. And like others have said, in banking, if I turn in several sets of $900,993 or whatever it ends up being, yeah, I get 5 years of federal prison for structuring. So that's not cool. The mayor shouldn't be above the law. I really, truly hope you guys actually investigate this because really, if he starts getting away with this sort of stuff, he's above the law. And that kind of makes a mockery of democracy. Like, why even vote people in if the mayor's just going to sidestep it, or he'll do a little piecemeal, or he'll override such a blatantly unanimous decision. It really, truly irritates my soul that happens. It saddens me. I hope you guys consider really investigating him for that. Do the right thing. Out of respect for other people's times, I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next up, we have Gareth Doski. Gareth?
Yes. Good evening, council members. My name is Gareth Doski, and I'm here to address Mayor Johnson's circumvention of your unanimous rejection. We've already gone through the numbers, but this wasn't a coincidence. This was calculated evasion of democratic oversight. I urge you, the council, to take three immediate actions that follow Ms. Cox's demands. First, I urge you to refer this matter to the district attorney and city auditor to investigate whether the mayor violated Colorado law, specifically CRS 18-8-404, for official misconduct and the Denver Purchasing Manual's prohibition on artificially dividing contracts to avoid oversight. This statute carries up to 1 year in county jail, and I believe the mayor deserves to face the full consequences of his actions. Second, schedule an oversight hearing to determine how the executive branch structured this contract to avoid your legislative authority. This may indeed be structuring. Third, introduce a pre-deadline resolution before October 31st declaring any unilateral contract extension improper and requiring full council review for any surveillance technology contracts going forward. But I want to be clear about what's truly at stake here. When a mayor deliberately engineers a contract to circumvent the will of the people and their elected representatives, that is fundamentally anti-democratic. When he does so to expand a police surveillance state, one that federal immigration authorities have already accessed 1,400 times, he's not just breaking procurement rules. He's committing a violation of our civil liberties and democratic principles by facilitating mass surveillance that inevitably leads to autocracy. I know many of you agree with me, but as a reminder, this surveillance infrastructure doesn't just watch. It tracks, it profiles, it enables government overreach. It isn't just license plate readers. It can identify cars by other features such as modifications, stickers, or roof racks. Additionally, the company just announced partnership with Amazon Ring, which will only further increase the power of our surveillance state. As an aside, I suggest that the council address this problem through legislature in the future. Finally, the enablement of an autocracy and the chase of money. The flock system seems to have been designed from the beginning to only pay lip service to accountability. The flock system and our police department lack significant oversight and accountability and cannot be trusted. You unanimously voted to reject this surveillance expansion. The people spoke through you, and the mayor ignored both and chose to bypass democracy to keep these cameras running and flock making money. The mayor should face criminal prosecution, and if convicted, he should serve jail time. That's not vindictive. That's accountability. That's what should happen when elected officials willfully violate the law to impose surveillance on an unwilling populace using their own money. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Casey Cartier.
Hi. Good evening, members of the City Council. My name is Casey Charter, and I'm here tonight to respectfully urge you to decline the renewal of the Flock ALPR mass surveillance program. For those unfamiliar, Flock is a system of automated license plate readers that are deployed throughout the city that use AI to record license plates and car characteristics like make, model, bumper stickers, color, roof racks, dents, and make a digital footprint of all cars passing by them. While proponents tout its potential for preventing crime, the reality is that as a tool of mass surveillance that is devastating to our civil liberties and already has countless cases of abuse. Since the installation of these cameras across the country, numerous abuses have been revealed. For example, in July, it was revealed that Denver data was searched 1,400 times for ICE since July 2024. Flock has a national lookup feature that allows police to opt into nationwide searches of local data. This was the case with Denver police until April 2025, when the City Council and citizens discovered this and pushed back. But Denver police still gives access to all law enforcement agencies across Colorado, even the ones that still opt into the nationwide searches. For example, Denver Police shares data with Loveland PD. Loveland PD recently admitted to sharing their Flock search portal with a federal agent conducting searches on behalf of ICE in April this year. Denver Police Department also shares data with Douglas County sheriffs who give access to anti-abortion states like Texas, Oklahoma, Mississippi, and more. And unlike Denver, they store their data for 365 days. ICE searches aren't the only abuses that occur. In 2020, Aurora Police wrongfully detained a black mother and her four children at gunpoint after receiving incorrect information from a Flock license plate reader, which mistakenly identified her car as a stolen vehicle. She eventually sued the city and was eventually awarded $1.9 million because of that. This data can't be safeguarded. It is collected by Flock, a third party, and it falls under what the Supreme Court calls the third party doctrine. According to this doctrine, the feds or any police agency can simply get this data with just a subpoena, bypassing the opt-out of sharing. Because of this, there are no possible safeguards to put on this data, and the only way for no abuse to occur is to not allow the data to be collected in the first place. Now let's talk about the numbers. We constantly hear the police use Flock PR terms like force multiplier and critically impactful tool, but they convene gloss over the actual numbers. Denver police said as of August 12, 2025, Flock's ALPRs have been involved in 352 arrests. It's important to understand these numbers within the context of the sheer volume of data that the system collects. Denver police scans over 2 million plates a month. Assuming these arrest numbers occurred over a 12-month period, that comes out to 24 million plates scanned during that time. That equates to a 99.998% of all plates scanned not involved in a crime. That is called mass surveillance. The renewal of the Flock ALPR program represents a step towards mass surveillance we haven't seen on the local level yet. I respectfully ask that you please vote against the renewal of the Flock ALPR program and any other mass surveillance system in Denver and Denver County. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Austin Scholey. And that will be our last one for tonight.
Good evening. My name is Austin Scholey. Just months ago, this city council voted 12-0 unanimously against ballooning the Flock AI surveillance camera contract budget by $666,000. The people spoke, you listened, cemented by your votes. This budget item was on your desk for approval because by law, anything above $500,000 requires city council approval. But you see, $498,500, that does not require your approval. That's why we're here. 63 days after your unanimous vote, Mayor Mike Johnston, behind our back, behind closed doors, bypassed your vote, ignored the will of the people, and surreptitiously awarded an expansion of the Flock AI surveillance camera system. Let me ask you, what's the point of your vote if the mayor can just bypass it with a slimy contract mod magic wand? What are we doing here? Where is your pride? If your vote doesn't matter, then surely ours doesn't either. According to Denver PD audit logs, ICE accessed the data collected from these Flock AI cameras over 1,400 times between June 2024 and April 2025. Federal immigration authorities are capitalizing on these exact surveillance networks to skirt national oversight laws and spy on our domestic population. This isn't about safety. This is about handing over our privacy to agencies that operate in the shadows. It's AI mass surveillance, plain and simple, turning our neighborhoods into monitored zones where every vehicle, every movement is tracked and stored indefinitely. In the spirit of the great Dave Smith, this isn't about left or right. It's about liberty and freedom versus tyranny and control. It's about whether or not we live in a city where decisions are made behind closed doors and privacy is treated like a privilege instead of a right. You already voted no, and we back you with that decision, but you are being made a mockery by this assertion. And I want to end on this. I don't want any more money thrown at it. More than that, I want Flock AI cameras out of our city, period. We didn't ask for this. We don't want it. And you already voted against expanding it. Now it's time to stand up and push back before it's too late. Get the Flock out of here. Thank you.
That concludes our general public comment session. If we did not get to you today, please join us at our next session or submit your comments.